Well, if you'll turn with me this morning in to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 8. For those of you joining us for the first time this morning, we are studying through this wonderful book of the Bible. In fact, our theme for the year, as you can see, is a theme of prophecy. And as you can imagine, I myself naturally would not have wanted to choose a theme like this for this year. Probably I would have chosen something like faith or grace something perhaps that's not as complicated, but the Lord has led us to this theme in His will. And the book of the Revelation, as we have been looking at so far, is a book that is written to the churches. It is written to God's people today, so that you and I will live for today, knowing what is coming in the future, and the time is at hand, isn't it? So let's look this morning at Revelation chapter 8, and we'll look at the first six verses of this chapter. Revelation chapter number 8, look with me at verse 1. Revelation chapter number 8 and verse 1 says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer or vessel, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." Verse 6. "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help to understand His word this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the precious word of God. Lord, we thank You, Heavenly Father, for giving us Your infallible holy word so that, Lord, we may know who You are. Lord, that we would not live aimless, empty, Lord, confused lives. Thank You, Lord, that You are not a God who just created us and abandoned us, Lord, but You gave us Your letter of love. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God, which, Lord, shows us our need for Christ, shows us we can be forgiven once and for all, and know for sure we have a home in heaven. Thank You, Lord, for the wonderful message of the Gospel. And Lord, we thank You that You have a plan to redeem, Lord, as many as would trust Christ, even in the very last days. Lord, help us to look at this chapter this morning. Help us to reverence Your holiness. Help us to stand in awe of Your mercy in the midst of judgment that is due. Help us, dear Lord, to love You more and to serve You in these last days, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Well, just as a way of review, as we look through the book of the Revelation, we've already witnessed the end of the church age period. The time that you and I are living in, the Bible describes as the church age. And the local New Testament church is underway today. And one day that age, that time period will end. And the Bible tells us, not only in this wonderful book, but other passages, that the climax of the church age will end with the rapture of the saints, the catching away of God's people to meet the Lord in the air. And that's the exciting hope we have. The Bible says, the time is at hand. Jesus said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." You see, the Lord is coming. The time is at hand. Any moment the rapture can occur. And we've seen that in the Bible already. And we've also seen afterwards what will take place. The Bible says as Christians, if we're saved, we will gather around the very throne of God. And there we'll see the Lord face to face in all His glory. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 4 that all heaven worships the Lord. They worship the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lamb for who they are and what they've done and what they will do. Then we've seen in Revelation chapter number 6, we have seen how the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, takes the seven sealed scroll, a book, a scroll with seven individual seals on it. He takes that scroll from God the Father upon the throne. And within that scroll is God's plan for the last days. God's plan for the conclusion of the history of man. His plan to redeem His creation back to Himself. The Lord Jesus took that scroll and started to begin to open those seals. In Revelation chapter 6, we saw that with every seal that was opened, a specific judgment was outpoured upon the earth. Horrific judgments. We saw the deception of the Antichrist. We saw the destruction of great war that was to follow. We saw the destitution of great famine. There was great hunger upon the earth because of the great warfare and the destruction to the crops. We saw the great death that was experienced by a third of the world's population and devastation by natural disasters. And the question at the end of chapter 6 in verse 17 is this: who, in the midst of all these horrific judgments, shall be able to stand? Now remember, as Christians, we won't be here for that time. Amen? This is a time that God has set aside for a purpose. It is a time of judgment. And the question is, who shall be able to stand? Who will endure this horrific time of tribulation? Who will last? Who will prevail? And wonderfully, the answer is given to us in chapter number 7 that we saw last week. You see, God's plan is not destruction. God's plan is not revenge. My friends, God's plan is redemption. You see, God's plan for the great tribulation is to offer salvation one more time to a greatly unbelieving world. You see, He will focus His attention on the nation of Israel once again in the tribulation. The nation of Israel, we see in the Bible, miraculously and wonderfully, will be converted. I know it's hard for us to imagine, but you see, the promises that God gave the nation of Israel in the Old Testament still stand today. One day they will be fulfilled. One day the nation of Israel will be saved. And the Bible tells us that 144,000 evangelists from the nation of Israel will be sent out to preach the good news of the gospel all around the world. And the result of that, the Bible says, will be untold multitudes of saved believers around the throne of God, worshiping Him, honoring Him, and blessing Him, and thanking Him for the wonderful gift of salvation. See, the Lord's purpose is the salvation of souls. In His wrath and in His holiness, He must judge sin. But within the judgment of God, as we sang about already, there is great mercy, isn't there? Great mercy. Thank God for His mercy for you and I. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 90 in verse 3, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men." Why would God pour out His judgments upon an unbelieving world in such great horrific intensity? It's because God's love is so great that people would repent and turn to the Lord so that people would be saved. You know, I think about our Christian lives, and you and I can be so stubborn at times, can't we? You know, God wants to get our attention. And so often we think we're in control, and we think we are the God of our lives, and yet we see God so often needs to bring trials and difficulties into our lives. And isn't it true? Those are the very things that bring us back to God. Those are the very things that show us how much we need God. And those are the very things that are used by God to bring us to Himself. I wonder how many of us here this morning can say that we were saved, we came to a point of salvation in Christ because of a difficult time in our life where we realized that we were sinners in need of a Savior. Now, if that's true for us, how much more then for an unbelieving world? Remember, in the tribulation, the church is gone. The candlestick, the bright light of the New Testament church is gone. Unrestrained anarchy will take place everywhere. We can't imagine the darkness that will prevail with every born-again Christian gone off the face of the earth. Sin will be unrestrained. The rebellion against man will be greater than ever before. But you see, God's love will still continue. God will still seek to win the lost. And sadly, in chapter number 8, the judgments continue. You see, man's pride is so great. God's judgments must continue. And more souls must be saved through the great tribulation. As we look to chapter number 8, today we are going to look at the first four of the second wave of judgments. We see the seven seal judgments, and then we see the seven trumpet judgments. In chapter number 8, the Bible says in verse 1, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." So you remember the scroll, the book that contained seven seals. When that seventh seal was opened and broken, it released the next seven waves of judgment. And each of these judgments get worse and worse one after another. So after the seven seals, we now see the seven trumpets. And we are going to see this morning that things are going to go from bad to worse for those who will be living on earth during the great tribulation. We'll also see some wonderful blessings in the Word of God as well. So stay with me this morning as we look at this message that I've entitled, "When Heaven Falls Silent." When heaven falls silent. Notice with me, first of all, in verse number 1, there is silence in heaven. There is silence in heaven. The Bible says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Now, friends, this must be a first in heaven. Remember the previous chapters we looked very closely at, we saw that heaven is a place of rejoicing. It is a place of great resounding worship. The Bible says that the angels are rejoicing around the throne. The Bible says that untold multitudes are rejoicing around the throne of God. Heaven is a place of praise and worship, of joy and of song. It's a place that is alive with noise of sinners praising God for their salvation. But suddenly, we are told that there is silence in heaven for half an hour. We are told that those around the throne are silent. The angels are silent. The saved multitudes are silent. They have no shouts of praise to sing. There are no divine announcements told from the throne. Now, why is heaven silent all of a sudden? Well, one thing we do understand is that silence is a powerful thing. Now, as I pause, oftentimes when a speaker pauses and there's silence, it grabs our attention. I remember during my school days when I had to stay up late and study hard, and some of you adults can remember those days of all-nighters trying to finish an assignment or prepare for an exam. Maybe some of you teenagers are like that this week as you went back to school and you're studying hard, and once you hand that exam in or get that exam finished and handed that assignment. Do you remember those days where you started to doze off in class? I know we shouldn't, but our body gets weary and sometimes we're tired. And do you remember when the teacher's talking and you hear their voice and you're getting lulled to sleep and suddenly they stop? And there's silence. And you wake up frightened, wondering what's going to happen. You know, silence is a powerful thing. Silence gets our attention. Now, those of you who are married here this morning, men, imagine if you were proposing to your wife when you did. Imagine if you asked her to marry you, and for half an hour she didn't say a thing. Let me guarantee you, that would have gotten your attention, amen? Absolutely. You would have been, in fact, sitting on the edge of your seat. Now, silence is a powerful thing. There was silence in heaven at this point in the book of the Revelation, because we see that in heaven, all present were focused on the Lord and in absolute awe of what is about to happen. You see, in awe of the holiness of God and what is about to take place, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, at this time, while on earth, mankind is in full-blown, unrestrained anarchy and rebellion against God, and they are refusing to hear His voice. At the same time, the whole of heaven is silent before Him. And they give all their attention to the Lord in light of His greatness and His majesty and holiness. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20 says this, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him." You know, as Christians, as we spend time in God's Word, and if we truly see who God really is, my friends, His holiness and His justice and righteousness and love ought to cause us to fall silent before the Lord, ought to cause us to be amazed at who God is. You know, silence is a good thing for us as Christians. You know, sometimes we need to get silent before the Lord, don't we? We need to spend some quiet time before the Lord. Just as an application from this verse at this time, you know, I think about our lives and they can be filled with so much busyness and noise, can't they? We live in a noisy world. Music is everywhere. Noise is everywhere. And sometimes those noises drown out what God wants to say to us that day. Sometimes those noises keep us from hearing the voice of God. That's why as God's people, we need to set some time aside to spend time with God, don't we? We need to be intentional about our quiet times. You know, there ought to be times where you set aside a quiet time at a quiet place to spend time in the Word of God. You see, if it's noisy, you'll be distracted. And God has His supernatural Word for us this morning, and He wants to speak to us personally each day. And there ought to be times where you and I are just astounded at how great God's love is, how great His mercy is for us, how great His holiness is, and in light of His holiness, how privileged we are to have received the gift of eternal life. Let me ask you this morning, when was the last time you went to prayer and you were just silent before the Lord? You know, good friends are good listeners. You know, we don't need to do all the talking in prayer. Sometimes we just need to be quiet before the Lord. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Sometimes it's good for us to just adore the Lord and say, "Thank you, Lord," in our hearts. Lord, I don't deserve the wonderful privilege of forgiveness and eternal life. And just adore Him and be in wonder and awe of the Lord. You know, Elijah, do you remember how he heard God's voice? It wasn't a loud booming voice. He heard the Lord's voice as a still, small voice. Don't miss the voice of the Lord. He wants to speak to you this week, and it's good for us to be silent before the Lord. It's good for us to give Him our attention. We need to, in prayer and in His Word. And first of all, this morning from chapter number 8, we see that there is great silence in heaven. They are focused on the Lord. They are in awe of what is about to happen. And they are waiting to see what the Lord will do. There is silence in heaven, first of all. Notice, secondly, there is service at the altar. Notice in verse number 2. There is service at the altar. "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." What do we see taking place at the altar? Well, we see the provision of trumpets. The provision of trumpets. There the Bible says, seven angels are standing before God, ready to do His will, and they are given seven trumpets. And those trumpets will be used to deliver seven waves of judgment upon the earth. Now, trumpets are important in the Bible. As you read up a little bit about trumpets and you look at the nation of Israel, trumpets were used for a great many diverse reasons. Within the nation of Israel, when it was time for them to pack up their tents, to pack up the tabernacle, to move from one place to the next in the wilderness, do you remember there was a trumpet call, a trumpet sound for them to pack up and then march forth? When there was danger, when there was an enemy approaching, the trumpets were used to seize their attention. And so trumpets were used in the Bible, perhaps one of the most famous Bible accounts is the account of the city of Jericho. How many of you remember the trumpets used during the battle of the city of Jericho. Now that's a good old Sunday school story. Now you remember, as the nation of Israel crossed into the promised land, the city of Jericho was there. They were a very wicked people, a very wicked city. And God's judgment was about to come. Now let me say this. Remember, everyone in that city could have been kept from judgment. Everyone could have turned to the Lord, because we know that Rahab did. Do you remember Rahab? She heard of the God of the nation of Israel. She knew that they were coming. She knew herself that she was simply a sinner that needed the Lord's salvation. And she repented of her sins and she put her faith in the Lord. She was a saved woman. And so she and her family were preserved from the judgment. But we know that as the tribes of the nation of Israel encircled the city of Jericho, we saw that the trumpets were blown on the last day. And we saw after the seventh lap, the trumpets were blown and they shouted and those walls came crumbling down. You see him that here in the book of the Revelation, the trumpets will be blown once again. The trumpets of judgment, in fact, will be blown. You see, there's coming a day when the walls of rebellion that an unsaved, rebellious world have built up against God, that a God-rejecting world have built up against the Lord, against a holy God by sinful man, will not be able to stay up any longer. They will come crumbling down. And judgment upon the earth is about to be poured out once again. But let me encourage you with this morning. If you are saved, we won't be on the earth waiting to hear of these trumpet judgments. In fact, God's people today are listening for a different trumpet sound. Amen. We are listening for a very different trumpet sound. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let me divert for a moment as we look to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let's have a look at the trumpet sound that every born-again Christian is waiting to hear. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let's read verses 16 to 18 together. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let's begin in verse 16 on 2. 1, 2. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. My friends, notice here in 1 Thessalonians, this is the trumpet sound that God's people are listening for. The Bible says that the trump of God will sound. And what is God speaking about? My friends, this is nothing less than the great catching away, the rapture of the saints. My friends, this is our hope. This is our deliverance as Christians. The Bible said, for God hath not appointed you to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there is coming a moment, my friends, and it can be at any moment, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come himself. The Bible says he will not come to earth at this stage, but he will come in the clouds. And the Bible says that there will be a trumpet that will be sounded. And at that very sound of the trumpet blown, the Bible says, first of all, the dead in Christ shall rise. Everyone who is saved that has passed away in the Lord, that is dead before Christ comes, the Bible says their soul is in heaven with God. But at that trumpet sound, don't miss it, the Bible says that their bodies will be reconstituted and transformed and rejoined with them in the air. And at that very moment, every saved Christian that is still alive on the earth will be suddenly raptured, captured up and taken away. Amen. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. My friend, that is the trumpet sound that every saved Christian is listening for today. As we were driving to church this morning, Joanna looked out the window and she was talking to me about the clouds, and she said, "Daddy, look, the clouds look like a picnic blanket." For a quick second, I looked out the window
and saw this great cloud cover over the Cairns morning sky. You know, the Bible says that it will be a cloudy day when the trumpet is sound, because trumpet sounds because we will meet the Lord in the air in the clouds. My friends, it might be today. It might be today that that trumpet will sound. It might be this very moment. It might be before this message ends and all God's people said, amen. Amen. But the question is, will you be caught up to meet the Lord in the air? Or will you be left behind? You see, those that are left behind will face the judgments that are to come. My friend, don't miss out on the gift of eternal life. I'm glad the gospel message is very simple. And I'm glad that Christ is still saving souls today. The Bible tells us in the Word of God simply that we are all sinners. We have all sinned and done wrong against the holiness of God. Every one of us has lied. Every one of us has stolen something. My friends, those are grievous sins in God's sight. Why? Because He is so holy. He is perfect. He is without sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God's judgment must punish sin. We all deserve His wrath. We all deserve to be separated in a place that the Bible calls the lake of fire. Why is hellfire so bad? My friends, because our sins are so great. If we would only see them from God's sight, we would know that's what we deserve. And yet the Bible tells us that God has wonderfully given us a plan of salvation which is greater than anything that you and I could ever imagine. That yes, even though we deserve to be punished for our sins forever, God Himself, in the greatness of His mercy and in the greatness of His love, came down to us. When we rejected Him, He came to us. When we didn't want Him, He went to the cross. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, chose to take our punishment upon Himself. And on that old rugged cross, He paid for the sins of mankind, for your sins and mine, once and for all. Why? For the glory of God, so that we could be forgiven. The payment having been made, God's wrath is fully satisfied in the blood of Christ, and that means every single person that ever lived could be saved. You see, there is no reason to die and be separated in a hopeless eternity. My friends, we can have an eternity with hope that never ends if we've received Christ as Savior. Let me ask you this morning, has there been a time in your life that you repented of your sins and asked Christ to be your Savior from sin? Has there been a time in your life where you received Him once and for all and you received the gift of eternal life? My friends, it is a free gift. Christ has paid the price, but are you willing to receive it? My friends, if you have, we have a wonderful hope. We have the hope of the trumpet sound to come. Not the judgment of trumpets, my friend, but for the trumpet of the rapture. And we'll be taken away. We won't be here for the tribulation. Let me say this, if you're not sure about your salvation, if you have a doubt, you've come to the right place this morning. Let me encourage you to talk to someone before you go. Let me encourage you to make sure that you're saved. Because you see, if you're left behind, my friends, there is horrific tribulation coming. There are great judgments that the Lord said will come upon the earth like that which has never been seen before or never will be seen again. We need to be saved today before it's too late. You see, there is service at the altar. We see the provision of the trumpets. The trumpet for the church is a trumpet of deliverance, but the trumpet for the earth will be trumpets of judgment. Notice, secondly, we see the prayers on the altar. What's taking place around the altar back in Revelation chapter number 8? We see the prayers around the altar. Come back with me to chapter 8 and verse number 3. I hope you're still with me this morning. Chapter number 8 and verse 3. Notice what the Bible says. After this silence, the Bible says that the angels received trumpets. Verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer Now, a censer is a vessel, a container. Now, within that container, that vessel, within that was some incense. And the Bible says, "And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints, upon the golden altar which was before the throne." Verse 4, "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." So here we see that the angels around the throne of God take, an angel takes the incense and offers it to God, notice, with the prayers of the saints. With the prayers of the saints. The smoke of the incense and the prayers of the saints, of the believers, ascend, waft up into the very presence of God to His delight. Now, these are mysterious verses. Let me assure you, when we are there, we will see exactly what's happening. And John, to the best of his ability, described what he saw. But there are some exciting lessons for us concerning prayer right here in the Word of God. Notice what we learn here when we see the service at the altar. We see our prayers are kept by God. Our prayers are kept by God. You see, as our prayers leave our hearts, they ascend into the very throne of God. They ascend like incense, the Bible says, and they don't just disappear into nothingness. They don't just disappear into nowhere. The Bible tells us that God holds on to our prayers and keeps them in His presence. Isn't that encouraging? The prayers of the saints are kept by God. They're kept. They don't disappear. Let me ask you this morning, are you like me and you need more encouragement in your prayer life? You know, we don't pray to God as often as we should because we don't understand the preciousness and the power of prayer. Here we see that our prayers are kept by God. You remember in the Old Testament tabernacle where they had some incense burning. That was a representation of the prayers of the people of God, wafting up to God. The psalmist said in Psalm 141, "Let my prayer be set before thee as incense." Let me encourage you, church family. God holds on to our prayers. They're kept by God. Notice also, our prayers are answered by God. The Bible says that the prayers of the saints are offered along with the incense on the golden altar before the throne. Now we might ask the question, well, what prayers are these? Well, remember in Revelation chapter number 6, there was a multitude that was praying to the Lord concerning the events to come. And they asked the Lord, "How long? How long, O Lord?" And I believe the prayers that are offered here contain the prayers of those saints that we looked at in chapter number 6. But remember, God keeps our prayers and He answers them at the right time. And let me say this, for over 2,000 years, Christians have been praying in the manner that Christ taught His disciples to pray. Do you remember that prayer? The Lord didn't say, repeat these words, word for word. He said, I want you to pray in this way. I want you to pray for these requests. And the Lord said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Do you remember the next line? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And my friends, this is the exciting truth. Right here, in this moment, the Lord is going to answer these prayers. 2,000 years of praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," are about to be answered. You see, my friends, though we may not see answers to our prayers immediately, though we may not see them in our lifetime, God is still at work and He will answer our prayers in His perfect time. Isn't that an encouragement? My friends, who knows what prayers will be answered after we leave this world? Who knows what the Lord will do? But the point is, we must pray. We must pray more. We must see it as a wonderful, precious privilege because they're kept by God, our prayers are. They ascend to the very throne of God and He will answer according to His will and according to His timing. Our prayers also have power with God. My friends, God is going to powerfully answer That's an understatement. He's going to powerfully answer the prayers that have been prayed. And here we see prayers that are heard, that are kept, and powerfully answered in God's time. Now, I know we're all the same this morning when it comes to the Christian life. We all struggle with prayer, don't we? We wonder whether we pray the right words. Lord, am I saying the right words? And Lord, is there some secret formula that I don't know to my prayers being answered? You know, we worry about the words that we say, and we struggle. We think to ourselves whether God is hearing us at all. And oftentimes we become so discouraged, we stop praying altogether. Isn't that true? Absolutely. We worry about prayer. And God shows us something special here in the book of the Revelation to encourage us. If we are saved, my friends, we have great power with God in prayer. We have great power with God in prayer. The Bible tells us that we have an advocate, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. That word advocate means a lawyer. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of the throne of God to deliver our prayers up to the Heavenly Father, God the Father, which is seated upon the throne. My friends, that is exciting. We have the Lord, our advocate. What a wonderful truth. You know, the Bible also says not only do we have an advocate in heaven, but we have an advocate within. The Bible says that if we are saved, the Holy Spirit lives within us. Do you realize that the word comforter is the same word that the Bible uses to describe Christ, the advocate? You see, there is an advocate within. There is the Holy Spirit within urging us to pray. Why is it that we feel guilty when we don't pray? Well, see, the Holy Spirit of God reminds us that we need to be a praying people, that we have, in fact, the right to come before the throne of grace boldly through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His shed blood that warrants us to come before the Lord in prayer. And in fact, not only do we have the privilege to pray and our prayers are kept by God and answered by God, but He will powerfully answer them. He will powerfully answer them. What an amazing truth. What an amazing encouragement. You know, our words may be simple. And we might worry, Lord, are my prayers too simple? And Lord, am I missing something? Let me encourage you. By the time our prayers reach the very presence of God as incense, my friends, the Holy Spirit has delivered your prayers up to God. The Lord Jesus Christ has delivered your prayers up to God the Father. And God the Father delights in our prayers as wonderful, sweet incense wafting before the very presence of the Lord. That's a wonderful picture of prayer. That ought to encourage us to speak to the Lord this week. To say, Lord, my words don't matter. Lord, thank you for hearing me. Lord, help me to pray more. Aren't these precious truths? Wonderful truths. Christian, there is great power in your prayers. In light of the judgments to come, we need to be a praying people. We need to pray more for the lost, unsaved family and friends that we have to come to salvation. Let me encourage you to keep praying. Let me encourage you to keep praying till your very last breath. You don't know what the Lord will do after you're gone, because our prayers are kept by God. They are answered in His will and His time. What a wonderful lesson for us. We see the provision of trumpets. We see the prayers of the saints. We see the preparation to sound in verse 5. Verse 5 says, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire on the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. You see, the Bible tells us that the angel takes the censer once again and then he fills it with fire from upon the altar. Fire is a symbol of judgment. And then he casts that fire into the earth and there are great sounds welling up from the earth. And these are sounds of judgment. The Bible says in verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The angels take their place. And they prepare to sound their trumpets. And as we are about to see, one judgment after another will be visited upon the earth and their inhabitants. We're going to look through these judgments very quickly to get an overall view. And we'll see God's purpose in them at the end. Notice with me the first trumpet. We saw first of all this morning there is silence in heaven. Secondly, there is service at the altar. And lastly, we see that there is great suffering on the earth. Notice verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and the green grass was burnt up. We see the judgment of things on the earth. Do you notice that with me this morning? The judgment of things on the earth. The Bible tells us that a third of all the trees, and that includes fruit trees, that includes food production plants, a third of the trees on the earth will be burnt up. Now, if you've ever been in a great bushfire before, you will know something of what the Bible's speaking about. The Bible says, in fact, there will be a worldwide bushfire like the world has never seen, where a third of the trees will be destroyed. They'll be gone. That's hard to imagine. When I was living in Canberra, I remember one year we returned from a holiday to the coast. And I remember as we were driving back home, going through the valleys and the mountains, we saw a large plume of smoke in the distance. Now, we didn't worry about it at all. In fact, it was so far away, we were just wondering, I wonder what that is. And it was a particularly hot day. We got home, we started to unpack, and in a few hours' time, the sky had become red. The sun had become dark. Black clouds filled the air. And suddenly, within a matter of few hours, day had turned to night. How many of you remember the great bushfires in 2003 in Canberra? Perhaps some of you were there. My friends, in a very, very short space of time, no less than 70% of the forestry reserves in the Australian Capital Territory were destroyed. Now, that was just in Canberra. The Bible says, imagine it, one third of the trees around the world will be gone. Will be gone because of the result of this judgment upon the earth. Imagine the tremendous impact upon the oxygen supplies of the earth. Imagine the tremendous impact on the worldwide food supplies. Well, there is judgment of things on the earth. Notice there is judgment of things around the earth in the second trumpet. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. The third part of the ships were destroyed. Notice the judgment of things around the earth. Here is a judgment that falls upon the sea. Now, the oceans and the seas cover the majority of the face of the world today. And here the Bible describes to us what seems to be a great meteor, a fiery mountain, a giant-sized meteor falling out of the heavens and hitting the oceans. Now, if that did take place, certainly a third of the sea creatures and sea animals in the oceans would perish. Certainly the oceans would be filled with the blood and the bodies of these sea creatures. And certainly a massive a tidal wave, as you could imagine it, would result in such a catastrophe. And the waves, the catastrophic waves of that ripple effect would destroy quite easily many of the ships in the sea. You see, that is the second trumpet judgment upon the sea, upon the oceans. Now, can you imagine the shockwaves that would hit the shipping industry? You know, most of the worldwide food distribution is done via shipping, is done via the shipping industry. My friends, with a third of the ships destroyed, the worldwide food supply, which is will already be in scarce and severe starvation quantities by this time, will be even scarcer. The balance of life in the oceans and the oceans will have been severely changed. This judgment will bring about ecological and economic disaster on the earth. Notice the third trumpet. The judgment of things under the earth in verse number 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. The Bible tells us here in the third trumpet judgment, there will be a judgment of things above, under the earth. We see that the rivers will be poisoned. We see that the underground wells of water will be poisoned. Notice with me verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Now in the original language, the word wormwood means bitterness. And that's what the Bible tells us here in verse 11. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. You see, as a result of perhaps this comet that falls upon the rivers and upon the wells of water, my friend, the water supply on the third part of the earth will become bitter. It will become poison. In fact, it will be so undrinkable, if anyone dares drink of it, the Bible says that they will die. You see, there will be a judgment upon the water, the fresh water of the earth. Many will die from drinking these polluted waters. And then fourthly, we see the judgment of things above the earth. Now stay with me, we're almost there. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. And so the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. You see, here we see the fourth judgment. The fourth trumpet is sounded, and we see the judgment of things above the earth. The sun, moon, and stars are reduced in their brightness by a third. Imagine the catastrophic impact upon the earth if the sun didn't shine as it should. Imagine what would not grow if the sun did not shine. Imagine the impact to the tides if the moon was changed in its brightness. My friends, the Bible tells us, whether it is by the supernatural hand of God or perhaps the ash or the debris in the atmosphere, the Bible tells us that the earth will be plunged into darkness as the sun, moon, and the stars refuse to give their life and light. That means there'll be one-third less energy on the earth to support the life systems of man. My friend, this trumpet judgment will take a great toll on humanity. Now, I went quickly through these verses, and we could have studied them through a little bit more, but I'm sure you've received an overall view. Have you noticed this morning the connection between these verses? God pours out His judgments upon His very creation. We see the judgment upon the things on the earth, the trees. We see the judgment upon the sea, the rivers of water. We see the judgment upon the sun, moon, and stars. Why would God bring judgment upon His very creation? Why would the Lord cause these trumpets to sound during the tribulation? Well, there is a reason. You see, for most of the history of mankind, man in his sinful and selfish pride has taken for granted everything that God Himself has created. Man has taken for granted everything in the creation we see around us. In fact, in the tribulation, my friends, the period of ungodliness will be so great, mankind will be in such great rebellion, mankind will lift up their voice and they will cry out to another God of their choosing. They will reject the God of creation. Isn't it true today? There are some that say, in the very face of Almighty God, and in the very witness of the glory of God's creation around us, that there is no God. You see, one day, God will get man's attention. God will show those living on earth at this period of time, over these 7 years, that they are not in control. Mankind is not ascending to a higher level of evolution, my friend. God is the Creator. He is the one that is in control, and mankind will be humbled. You see, if God were to lift His very hand off His creation this morning, you and I would disappear into oblivion. The Bible says God holds everything together with the power of His might. It is God that holds our world together. If His hand was taken off, everything would disappear. And you see, in an ungodly and rebellious world,
that is worshipping the Antichrist, God will find a way to get the world's attention, amen. God will find a way so that souls will be saved. The judgments to come are horrific. But you see, the mercy of God is wonderful. Let me ask this last question as we conclude. Have you noticed the other connection between these verses, between these trumpets? Did you notice that only a third of the trees would be destroyed? Did you notice that? Did you notice only a third of the sea would be impacted? Did you notice only a third of the fresh water would become bitter? Did you notice only a third of the strength of the sun, moon and stars? If God were to pour out His wrath and His judgments upon a world that deserved it, why does He not judge in His entirety? Why only a third? My friends, if it's only a third, that means the majority of trees will still be alive. That means the majority of the world's water. Why only a third? Do you not see God's mercy in these passages? Do you not see that though the world deserves judgment, God's mercy is still so great? Do you not see that even in His judgment and in His wrath, God in His mercy and love will still restrain the full judgment of sin upon an unbelieving world? Do you see that with me this morning? And this is why I believe that heaven fell silent for half an hour. Because as they beheld the very presence and holiness of God, as they waited in awe of the judgments to come, they knew that in wrath, God would remember mercy. My friends, souls will still be saved during the tribulation. Now, sadly, from here on in, things are still going to get much worse because mankind does not want to repent. But God will still be at work rescuing souls before it's too late. Do you see the mercy of God? Shouldn't we too be in awe of God's mercy? I'm thankful. At the age of 26, God was merciful on a sinner like me. And in 2005, He showed me that I was an ungodly, wicked sinner that deserved His full judgment, that didn't deserve anything but an eternity in torment for my offenses towards God. But I thank God for His mercy and His love. And He showed me that there is a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ, that a Savior has died, and we can be forgiven, and we can receive His mercy by calling out to the Lord to be saved once and for all. Amen. I'm thankful on the 7th of May 2005, I experienced the mercy of God when I asked Christ to save me. My friends, are you saved this morning? My friend, don't let your pride stop you from coming to Christ. Don't let your fear stop you from coming to the Lord. My friend, don't get left behind and waiting to hear of the judgments to come. We can be safe in Christ if we turn to Him this morning. If you're not sure, let me urge you to come and see us this morning. Let me urge you to talk to someone about your salvation this morning. Now, Christian, if you are sure, let's give our lives to the Lord, amen, in these last days. Let's live for the Lord. Let's pray more than ever before for souls to be saved. We all have family and friends that need to come to the Lord. We all have loved ones that need to repent and put their faith in Christ as Savior. Ought we not to pray, knowing that our prayers are kept by God, are answered by God, and are powerfully answered by the Lord? Let our prayers ascend up to the Lord as incense. Let us witness to as many as we can, knowing what is to come. God has told us, so we can live today for Him. Let's close in prayer. Let me urge you to consider what the Lord would have you to do this morning.